Welcome one and all to the latest edition of Web Sleuths Radio. My name is Tricia Griffith, the very proud owner of WebSleuths.com, one of the most, if not the most, respected true crime discussion forums in the universe. Tonight, it's going to be a crazy night. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about a cop who has a long rap sheet. He was hired twice by the same police department. Well, now that cop is charged with rape and kidnapping, and finally, this police department in Alabama said, okay, we're done. You're fired. Unbelievable. Also, we'll cover the story that I think is going to make you so angry, you're going to want to reach through your computer or cell phone or whatever you're listening on and strangle me. But just remember, I am the messenger here. It's about the abuse and murder of a little girl that is so gruesome, it's going to be hard to stomach, and it will make you furious. But first, I really want you to think about what I'm going to tell you or what I'm going to ask you. Think about if you only had 20 to 30 minutes to live. Really, that's it. You couldn't seek cover, you couldn't run away. 20 to 30 minutes before a ballistic missile landed on you and blew everything up. What would you do? Well, that exact question faced the people of Hawaii this past Saturday because the state emergency broadcast system accidentally sent out this message.
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii. A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes. This is not a drill. If you are indoors, stay indoors. If you are outdoors, seek immediate shelter in a building. Remain indoors well away from windows. If you are driving, pull safely to the side of the road and seek shelter in a building or lay on the floor. We will announce when the threat has ended.
And the announcement just went on and on and on, repeating that. So literally, the people of Hawaii, and it went everywhere. Cell phones, like I said, TV. And, oh, by the way, it did have that obnoxious buzzing, beeping noise beforehand. I didn't play that because I don't want the audience to turn completely out here. Anyway, imagine. It. Just think about it. Your stomach is just doing flips. What do? You're trying to get in touch with loved ones. Or do you, like, all of a sudden try and get drugs and do drugs one final time before you die? Or do you kill yourself so you don't have to be killed by a missile? We still don't know if there's been any sort of harm done to people that they perhaps have done to themselves because they thought a missile was coming to kill them in Hawaii. Now, it was a mistake. Thank God. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see in the next few days exactly how all this plays out. I have a feeling there's going to be lawsuits. People are traumatized. And yeah, we can make jokes about it, but I'm telling you, there are people that are so traumatized in Hawaii that they'll never be the same after this. That's some mistake. However, if it truly is an honest mistake, boy, do I feel for the person that did this. Because that person's life will never be the same either. You may not know this about Web Sleuths Radio, Web Sleuths Podcast, but we do have correspondents in every corner of the world. In fact, we have Rebecca set up specifically in Hawaii by Web Sleuths Radio to report to us. Okay, she's not set up specifically by Web Sleuths Radio, but I just kind of like to pretend it's like a big organization. Anyway, Rebecca, you heard this alert. You heard this alarm. What did you do?
It's unfortunate, but, and I hate to use cliches, but there was a very deep sense of dread that just comes over you. You get very solemn. We have been hearing here in Hawaii that we know once it leaves North Korea, then it has 20 minutes before impact. We received the warning approximately 5 minutes after it's launched, so we know we have 15 minutes. There is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just something that you have to go through all these emotions in a few minutes, and then at the very end, it's more like it is what it is, and there's the acceptance.
What I found to be a really WTF moment in Utah, that stands for what the fudge, was when the alert system, when the emergency alert system tells everybody in Hawaii last Saturday, 8:10 in the morning, to seek shelter because there is a ballistic missile headed your way, folks. Didn't quite say it like that, but it did tell everybody to seek shelter. Where the hell do you seek shelter in Hawaii, Rebecca? Where?
They have so many tunnels and underground warehousing that the military used to use. Most of them are military owned. Some of them are privately owned. They're used for storage. Where I live on the Waianae coast, I am right here on Farrington Highway across the street from the ocean. There is absolutely zero places to go.
Oh, that's just lovely. So there really isn't anywhere to seek shelter in Hawaii. However, there are some tunnels and old underground bunkers, but they're being used for storage now. I guess the Army puts their old, sheets, pillowcases, the extras that they have in there. I'll tell you what, Hawaii is going to be doing a lot of soul searching, especially the officials in charge of the emergency broadcast system for that state. Rebecca, I just read that when people got this message, heard it over their car radios, they stopped their cars, got out, left their cars, or just stopped their cars. Is that right? Did you see any of this?
Well, we were right here on Farrington Highway, and everybody just stopped in their vehicle. They just stopped in mid-traffic and just sat there for a few moments. And then, like, a light went off or something, and then everybody started just breaking the speed limit, going, I'm going to assume, to a loved one as fast, as close as they could. So it got very eerie. It got very silent. It kind of reminds you of right after 9/11. Everything goes quiet. And it was terrible because the most horrible thing is we go and we automatically turn on the TV to the local station and there's nothing. We go to national stations like CNN and there was nothing. So we're just sitting there and the only thing I could think of was just pour a cup of coffee and look at my wife, you know.
What we're finding out now is certain companies acted very differently. In fact, let's talk about Target and Home Depot. It was pretty wild. Rebecca, right?
I came across the local news station that Target was actually rushing all their customers out the door, and then almost next door, over to the right is Home Depot, and they were trying to grab people and bring them in. So,
oh my God,
it's like crazy. But I don't understand, because you understand that you're dealing with people that their employment is retail, so they're not trained in emergency management. They're just going to follow what the company tells them to do. I cannot see ever a company like Target pushing people outside. I guess that's to take a liability off of them. I have no idea, but one company's doing the total opposite of the other. And that's not very aloha. You know, the aloha feeling here is a lifestyle. It's embracing one another, strangers. Everybody is, even down to the traffic, they're just kind to one another all the time, all day long.
Thank you, Rebecca. Great job at being the South Pacific correspondent for Web Sleuths Radio. As you know, we pay very well, handsomely, so you'll be getting that huge check in the mail. Again, my illusions kind of spill out of my mouth. Rebecca, give our best to your wife and take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Right on. Well, much aloha to you, Tricia, and thanks for having me.
Finding out a little bit more about what happened, apparently the local emergency alert system in Hawaii works like this. It's only one employee that triggers it, but it's a two-tier system, a two-part system. The employee hits the button and up pops a screen that says, are you sure you want to do this? The employee says yes, and boom, it goes out. So that's kind of a fail-safe that didn't work this time. I'm sure they're going to take a look and see how they can fix things. Supposedly, according to reports, the person who did this feels horrible. No shock there. I can't imagine how that person must feel. I would feel terrible. So let's not come down on him too hard, okay? Because the good thing out of this, the silver lining, Hawaii has a lot of work to do to make sure they're prepared in case it really does happen. Okay, normally at this point, I would have another guest on, or at the very least, I would have some sound bites for you to accompany another true crime story. That's not going to happen this time. I'm just so fed up with bringing you all stories about a woman who has a boyfriend and who has a small child, and that small child ends up dead and murdered. And that's what happened here again. It was a big story this last week. It was about two people. Their names are, their boyfriend and girlfriend, of course, Candace Diaz and her boyfriend, Brad Fields. Now, they lived in a trailer park, in a trailer that was disgusting, filled with dog crap, drugs, the whole thing. Now, get this. They have, Candace has this gorgeous, adorable 4-year-old daughter, Gabrielle. They call her Gabby, Gabby Barrett. Now, according to Candace, this is one thing I read. Now, of course, she's probably changed her story 600 times. But according to Candace, Gabby wanted to take her own bath and draw it herself. So being 4, that's certainly old enough, not. She let her do it. And apparently, according to Candace, that's how Gabby got all these horrible burns all over her body. So, the story goes that Gabby was in the tub. Candace, being mother of the year, decided to go check on her and saw that she was underwater. So what does she do? Well, her boyfriend's in the next room. It's just like calling up the Royal Canadian Mounties. Oh, Brad Fields, come in, save my child. Now, I'm a little fuzzy on this next part. They take her out of the bathtub, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. They leave. And family is around Gabby now, trying to revive her. 911 is called. The paramedics come in. They take Gabby to the hospital. Gabby dies 2 days later from her injuries. Now, she was burned all over her body. It was just awful, apparently. Just horrible. In fact, the county medical examiner said it was the worst child death case he had seen in 27 years on the job. So, she has burns all over her body. Her big toe fell off because it was burned. Skin was found in the drain because of her burns. But it wasn't her burns that killed her. Oh, no, they went the extra mile with Gabby here. She is bruised from head to toe. Beaten, obviously. So, that's what she died of, was the bruising, the beating, and God knows what else that they haven't released. And probably won't, because it's just too horrific. So Candace Diaz and boyfriend Brad Fields, they take off. They know they're in trouble. And they catch him in Georgia and bring him back to Michigan. And that's kind of where we stand today, right now. The last I heard, anyway. They've both been charged with murder. Their excuse? They both have mental problems. And I find that extremely offensive. Because the people that I know that have mental health issues take care of their kids. They don't do these horrible things. Don't do that. Don't blame it on the fact that you have mental health issues. Because then people think everyone with a mental health issue will act this way. And that's not true. That is just not true. And it infuriates me to no end that they're using, quote, their mental health issues. No, what happened was, and again, this is something that we need to focus on, everybody. What happened was they grew up in a cycle of abuse, their parents grew up in a cycle of abuse, and they keep having kids over and over and over and abusing them. And I don't have the answer how to stop it. All I know is it has to stop. We can't keep having these people having babies that have no clue how to take care of them. They couldn't take care of a pollywog, let alone a child. In fact, Candace, the mom, if you can use the word mom, she was certainly not a mother in my eyes, when she was younger, there was a house fire. She was burned pretty bad. Her mother and her grandmother went to prison because of that house fire. Yeah, so, you know, she had some just shining examples of being a dirt bag. And don't blame mental health issues on this. I just don't. So they're saying they didn't have medicine and they need help. I'm a liberal, flaming liberal, weeping snowflake, and I don't buy this, not for one second. The thing we need to do, my friends, is we always need to get involved. Don't ever be afraid to call Child Protective Services. Don't ever be afraid to step in. And we need adults to help these children that are stuck in these horrible home situations. They need to know that there are adults on the outside that can help them. And that's where you come in. If you have somebody in your neighborhood or you have a family member who has a child and you know that things are not good there, but it doesn't even rise to the level of calling Child Protective Services, you can still help a lot by mentoring that child. And that's what we need. We need involvement, we need education, and we need to make damn sure that these children are taken away from them as soon as they prove they can't be a mother. I don't know why we keep having to have victims, why we keep having to have child victims. These people show us over and over and over again they can't be parents. So I wish I had some really exciting solution to this. I don't. But I'm going to keep harping on it. I'm going to keep talking about it. We need to watch. We need to get involved. And we need to help when we can. Okay? Let's move on to other true crime. And this one is just a doozy. It's about a policeman. And when I read his age, said he was 24 years old, I thought, that's got to be wrong. Because this guy's been in so much trouble. He can't only be 24, he's got to be 42. But no, this is a very young man who's led a very troubled life, and he's been a cop. Yeah, here is the deal. His name is Brian Pearman. He was a police officer with the Pritchard Police Department in Alabama. And I believe the Pritchard Police Department has lost their police department mind over this guy. Now, he was just recently indicted for kidnapping and rape. So, of course, he was fired, finally, from the police department. And I say finally because this guy had a record before he ever became a police officer. He was charged with, he had a rap sheet. He was charged with, killing a neighbor's dog. He had anger issues. He had two previous violent offenses. He had aggravated child abuses when he did become a cop. Anyway, he graduated from the police academy in 2011. He was hired by the Pritchard Police Department, quit, and was rehired again in 2014. They knew he was violent, and they hired him twice. Brian Pearman would not pass a background check to become a moderator on Web Sleuths. I don't understand this at all, but he has been charged. He has bonded out. He's not in jail. And so we're going to keep an eye on former Officer Pearman and make sure that we keep the eye on the ball here and make sure this guy finally has to serve some time and get the justice that he so deserves. He's gotten away with it for too long, and he was a cop. I don't know. I don't know why that surprises me. Now, all of these cases that we've discussed tonight, they're all on websleuths.com, and we even have more. It's been such a tragic week. We have a sad ending to missing 19-year-old Blaze Bernstein. He was found murdered in Orange County Park. One of his classmates has been arrested. That is so tragic, and I don't know if you saw Blaze's parents on TV, but your heart just falls apart. Those poor parents are devastated, obviously so. And finally, we've had some big movement in the Las Vegas shooting case. Hundreds of unsealed pages concerning the investigation into this horrible tragedy. Stephen Paddock killed 58 people, wounded over 500. Hundreds of pages have been released and court documents. And they're pretty revealing. Now, I have a very long interview that I've pre-recorded with former cop and columnist Doug Papa. Now, he's been on this story like nobody else. He knows the ins and outs. He's been talking to the cops in Las Vegas. He knows every single little detail. And when you hear this interview with Doug Papa about Stephen Paddock killing 58 people, wounding over 500 others in Las Vegas, shooting out of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, when you hear what he has to say, you're going to be stunned like I am. Unless, of course, you've been digging into the case like Doug Papa, then you already know there are so many unanswered questions and so many strange statements made by the sheriff that make absolutely no sense in this mass murder. So we do have a big discussion going on about the Las Vegas shooting on Web Sleuths. I'm working very hard to get the interview with Doug Papa up, as well as I have a wonderful interview with the lawyer for the victims. All of that is coming. It's just, I wish I could only concentrate on my podcast, but other areas of my life, real life seems to come in and snatch me away all the time. But I want you to know I am working very hard to get these interviews up so you can listen to them all. It's just real life. Like I said, it interferes with all the fun stuff that I want to do. Even my dogs. I have three dogs, and they look at me and they say, okay, yeah, you bitch. Now, that's a term of endearment for the dogs, because dogs are considered called bitches. Anyway, they look at me and they say that, and they say, come play with us. Throw this slobber-soaked tennis ball for the 500 millionth time, please. So it's from all sides of my life. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to Web Sleuths Radio. WebSleuths.com, you can find all of the cases there. I'll also have a link to the cases in the description of this podcast on Blog Talk. So thank you very much. And remember, 2018, this is going to be our year, my friends. Web sleuths, we are sleuths with a purpose. We're going to make a difference. See you next week. Bye-bye.